لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين هاجروا في سبيل الله ثم قتلوا أو ماتوا ليرزقنهم الله رزقا حسنا وإن الله لهو خير الرازقين. ليدخلنهم مدخلا يرضونه وإن الله لعليم حليم. ذلك ومن عاقب بمثل ما عوقب به ثم بغي عليه لينصرنه الله إن الله لعفو غفور. ذلك بأن الله يولج الليل في النهار ويولج النهار في الليل وأن الله سميع بصير. ذلك بأن الله هو الحق وأن ما يدعون من دونه هو الباطل وأن ما يدعون من دونه هو الباطل وأن الله هو العلي الكبير. ألم تر أن الله أنزل من السماء ماء فتصبح الأرض مخضرة إن الله لطيف خبير. له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وإن الله لهو الغني الحميد. صدق الله العظيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Respected elders and friends, you have just heard the recitation of the 15th ruku of Surah Al-Hajj. in the beginning of the 15th ruku of Surah Al-Hajj, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ قُتِلُوا أَوْ مَاتُوا لَيَرْزُقَنَّهُمُ اللَّهُ رِزْقًا حَسَنًا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَهُوَ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ لَيُدْخِلَنَّهُمْ مُدْخَلًا يَرْضَوْنَ وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَعَلِيمٌ حَلِيمٌ. Those people that have left their homes, made hijrat in a part of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, and then they have been killed in the path of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, or they die a natural death. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala will grant them beautiful provisions. And verily Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is the one that provides the best of provisions. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala will grant them entrance into places that they will be happy and pleased with. And verily, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is all-knowing, and Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is tolerant. In this verse, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala speaks about hijrat and making an effort in the path of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, exerting oneself in the path of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. There is a saying in Arabic, Al-Mujahidu man jahada nafsa. A real mujahid is that person who fights with his nafs, who goes against his nafs. He does not feed his nafs with everything that the nafs wants. When we look into the life of our pious elders, the amount of effort and the amount of sacrifice they have made in the path of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala to ensure that the nafs is not fed, and they control their nafs. They dominated the nafs did not dictate to them. One very old man, being in Makkah Mukarramah at the time of Hajj, whenever he was there, on every occasion, he would make 70 tawaf around the Baytullah Sharif every day of his life. Look at the effort and sacrifice. One tawaf is 7 rounds. 70 tawafs, that makes 490 rounds around the Baytullah Sharif. When a person finishes the tawaf of the Baytullah Sharif, then he has to make 2 rakat wajib salat. So, if it is 70 tawafs, that's going to be 140 rakats after making tawaf around the Baytullah Sharif. Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh, he was so punctual on performing salat with Takbiratul Ula. When the Imam said Allahu Akbar, he was with the Imam, and this continued for many years. He even went to a jalsa, and after the jalsa, the azan was given for the salat. There was a huge crowd, and it was difficult for him to come out from that crowd. By the time he entered the masjid, the imam had already went into ruku of the first rakat. Hazrat Maulana joined the imam, and after the salat, his face became very pale. Signs of displeasure and disappointment on his face. And then he mentioned, "Today the first time after 22 years, I missed out my salat with Takbiratul Ula." This was the life of our akabirin. Mujahada, effort, sacrifice in the path of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. There are two enemies of a person. One is an external enemy and one is an internal enemy. The external enemy is a shaitan. Indeed, a very, very dangerous enemy. Inna shaitana lil insani aduwwun mubin. And then you have the internal enemy, that is the nafs of the individual. That is even worse than the shaitan. If the enemy is from outside, somehow you can defend yourself, you can protect yourself, you can lock up the house so the enemy does not attack you. But if the enemy is right inside your house, then that is indeed a very, very dangerous enemy. And that is why it is very important for every one of us to make an effort to protect ourselves from the enemy from within, and that is to fight our nafs and to fight our egos and to protect ourselves from all the onslaughts of the nafs. It is stated, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ أَرْبَعٍ. A person is created from four things. One is sand, water, air, and fire. There are four things that a person is created from. And each one of these four things, it shows itself somewhere in the long life of the person. A human being sometimes has anger, that's an expression of the fire that is within him. He shows his intelligence, that is a sign of the water that is within him. He has pride and arrogance, that is the water, that is the air within him. And sometimes humbleness and humility, that's an expression of the sand that is within him. And each one of these four has to maintain his balance. And the moment there's imbalance in any one of these four, then there's a need for a person to make it Islam. The person will have to get angry. It's human nature for a person to get angry. If you don't get angry, then you're not a human being. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi said, the person who prays, he does never ever get angry. Then that person not a human being, he's a donkey. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi himself got angry on many occasions. So to get angry is an expression of the human nature. But the moment that excessive anger or anger in the wrong places, or to have a sense of pride, that is also natural. But to have pride in the wrong places or in the wrong way that feeds the nafs in the wrong way, that is when there's a need for a person to make it Islam. There's a need for a person to change himself and to reform himself. Somebody asked Bayezid Bustami rahmatullahi, كيف أصل إلى الله? How do I reach Allah tabarak wa ta'ala? How do I get close to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala? So Bayezid Bustami rahmatullahi gave a very easy prescription. He told, تَدَعَ نَفْسَكْ وَتَصِلْ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Leave your nafs. Abandon your nafs. Once you have abandoned your nafs, now it is very easy for you to reach Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Bayezid Bustami rahmatullahi once mentioned, there's only two steps to Jannah. You want to go into Jannah and paradise, only two steps. One step, leave your nafs. The second step, you're in Jannah and paradise. So, it is very important for each and every one of us to take control of our nafs. Especially when a person goes for Hajj, and in Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Munawwara, he's all the time doing the correct things and the right things. But the moment you return home, that is when you get all the challenges against the nafs and so many attractions. The person has to control his nafs. He is saying, "An-nafsu kattifl, in tuhmidhu shabba ala hubbi rada." The nafs, it is like a small child. The child that is being fed with from the milk of the mother. A child that is being breastfed. Now if the mother does not wean the child, and don't take the child out of that milk, the child will be so addicted to it that it will become young and become a youth whilst breastfeeding being breastfeeding from the mother. So a person will have to make an effort to take the child out. The mother will have to make an effort to wean the child and get the child out of that milk. Otherwise, the child will be addicted to it. The nafs is just the same. We can't feed that nafs all the time. And neither is it possible for a person to get to feed his nafs with everything that the nafs wants. There was once a king, he told one of his ministers that you haven't shown me a son, you haven't shown me a child. So minister got very happy. The following day he took his child to the court of the king. The king was very proud of the child. And he told the minister, make sure you look after the child and the child will never cry. So the minister thought he's a small child, the child is going to cry somewhere along the line. So he asked the king, then how is that possible? A child normally cries. So the king said, whatever the child wants, you must give the child won't cry. So one day the child started crying. The king asked the child, "Why are you crying? What do you want?" He said, "I want an elephant." So the king said, "That's very easy." So he told somebody, "Take an elephant, give it to a child. Let the child play with the elephant." For a little while, the child was happy, satisfied, playing with the elephant. And after a while, the child started crying again. So the king said, "Why are you crying now?" He says that, "I want a needle. I want to play with a needle." The king said, "That is very easy." He told somebody, "Give the child a needle." The child got the needle, got very happy. The child started crying again. The king asked him, "Now why are you crying?" He said, "Because I want the elephant to go through the hole of the needle." The king said, "That is not possible. How is that possible? Just as it is not possible for an elephant to go through a hole of the needle, likewise, it is not possible for every one of us to fulfill our nuts to the heart's desire to whatever we want to do. There are going to be challenges in life, and we have to face those challenges. We have to control our nafs, we have to control our desires." Somebody asked Ibn Qayyim rahmatullah alayh, "How does one know that the nafs is sick?" So he mentioned three indications. One is, if a person's nafs is only inclined towards worldly things, he may be in a deen environment, he may go out in the path of Allah Ta'ala, but in spite of him being in that environment, the person is always attached to his beautiful house, he's attached to his beautiful car, he's got one business, he wants another business, he's got a second business, he wants a third business, and all the time his heart is inclined towards worldly things and materialistic things. There's a clear indication that his nafs is sick. The second indication, the person's heart is only inclined towards people. He's always inclined to his wife, to his children, and his heart is never focused towards Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, towards deen and shariah. And the third indication is, whenever the person thinks about Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, he thinks about coming to a masjid, he thinks about making the zikr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, he feels a sense of unease within, uneasiness within him. These are the three indications that the nafs of the person is sick. And therefore, then now is the time when a person should really consider making Islam, changing himself and reforming himself. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Thani rahmatullah mentions, if it is possible for a person to make his own Islam, then he should do that. But generally it is noticed that it is very difficult for a person to make his own Islam. With every person, the person will always defend his own nafs and think what I'm doing is the right thing. In human nature, everybody likes themselves more, and you want to defend your own nafs. So how is it then possible for a person to make his own Islam? So therefore, there is a need for a person to identify a spiritual guide. Somebody who you could put your hands into, and the person then can take you along in the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Nowadays, there is a habit or the trend, people take bay'at for the sake of barakah. That is the person, the purpose of bay'at. The purpose of bay'at is to change yourself and to reform. If you want to get barakah, come in a masjid and perform salah. If you want to get barakah, the Quran Kareem is to open the Quran and make tilawat of the Quran. You want to get barakah, make zikr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Those are all the avenues of gaining barakah. But the purpose of bay'at is not just barakah. Sometimes you find a senior person, alim, buzruk, and everybody talks about him, and let's go take bay'at for the sake of barakah. The barakah might be there, but the purpose of bay'at will not be achieved. The purpose of bay'at is to change yourself, to reform yourself, and identify such a person with whom you are comfortable. You know he's a nek person, he's a pious person. You stay in the company of that person, you feel the closeness of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. You think about the akhirah. You want to change, there's a yearning within your heart. Then identify the person who you can talk to. You can confide in. Somebody that you are comfortable, not necessarily that you go to the person that everybody is going to. The purpose of bay'at is You must be able to speak to a person, the person must be able to identify your wrong and prescribe something for you through which you can get the closest of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. When a person takes bayat, when a person gets closer to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, reforms his nafs, then there is a different type of enjoyment in it. It's either you leave your nafs free and let the nafs enjoy. That is napak enjoyment. That is filthy, dirty enjoyment. You will feed the nafs with everything that is completely haram and un-Islamic. But the moment you abandon that, and now you contain yourself, you exercise restraint, and now the enjoyment that you get from that, it is a halal, pure enjoyment. It is a healthy enjoyment through which the person will get the closest to Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So, one of the purpose of making hajj is to get the closer to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and that one way of doing it is to control the nafs. Don't let the nafs of the person control him. Further, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكْ وَمَنْ عَاقَبَ بِمِسْلِ مَا عُوقِبَ بِهِ ثُمَّ بُغْيَ عَلَيْهِ لَيَنْصُرَنَّهُ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَعَفُوٌ غَفُورٌ. You have heard this. Now listen to another principle, that whosoever has afflicted the next person equivalent to what he has been afflicted with, if the oppressed person has to avenge the oppressor equivalent to the oppression, and then he has been oppressed again, the oppressor oppressed the person again, now most definitely Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will help him and assist him. Verily Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is overlooking and forgiving. ذلك بأن الله يولج الليل في النهار ويولج النهار في الليل وأن الله سميع بصير. And this Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will give you success, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will give you prominence. That is the clear indication in the sign of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, in the creation of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, that Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala causes the night to enter in the day, and Allah causes the day to enter in the night. This complete change is a clear expression of the power and the greatness and the qudrat of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is all hearing, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is all seeing. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقُّ. And this day entering in the night and night entering in the day is a manifestation of the power and the qudrat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. This is to indicate that Allah is haqq, Allah is true. وَأَنَّ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ هُوَ الْبَاطِلِ. And that which you call unto beside Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, worshipping anything beside Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, that is false. Wa anna Allahu huwa al-'aliyyul kabeer. And Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is powerful and great. Alam tara anna Allah anzala min as-samaa'i ma'a. A sign of the power of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is, see a barren land, it does not provide any crops and vegetation. Suddenly Allah tabarak wa ta'ala sends rain from the sky. فَتُصْبِحُ الْأَرْضُ مُخْضَرَّةً. Then you find the ground is lush and green. Who has done that? Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَطِيفٌ خَبِيرٌ. Verily Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is kind, and Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is all-knowing. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. To Allah tabarak wa ta'ala belongs whatever is in the skies and whatever is in the earth. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ اللَّهُ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. And verily Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is rich, independent, and Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala alone is worthy of praise. Make dua that Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq and hidayah to make mujahada in the path of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and to take our time to go out in the path of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is an environment where we could also make our islah of our nafs, to change ourselves and to get closer to Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And the purpose of performing hajj is also to take out some time, go out in the path of Allah, to see the Baytullah Sharif, to go all the Mubarak places, to gain the closer to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. May Allah grant all of us hajj al-mabrur, hajj al-maqbool, and Allah ta'ala change ourselves, Allah ta'ala change our nafs, and grant us his closeness and his muhabbat. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.